Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for another opportunity to share in the weekly teachings from Babylon to Jerusalem. That is the series, the sixth part really, and we will have one final part in the next lesson. But we are studying from Babylon to Jerusalem. This is a fascinating record of the developments leading to the kingdom of God. Again, we are still exploring the four kingdoms, that's those mentioned in Daniel, the seventh chapter, and their derivatives leading to the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. In the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, we read of some details that must be recognized in order to have a proper understanding of the future. You see, the kingdoms may pass from one ruler to another, or from one king to another, or emperor, or president, whoever the leader is. It passes from one to another, but God looks at the big picture. So in Daniel, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 5, we see an extremely, I should say, well, it's all significant, but point that you and I need to look at and make sure we don't forget. So he says, now I will show you, let's see, in Daniel 11 chapter verse 2, now I will show you the truth. Behold, there shall stand up three kings in Persia. You recall, there was Babylon. They were taken over by Media, Persia. And there were three kings. It is saying that there were only three, but there were three significant kings in Persia. And the fourth shall be far richer than them all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the kingdom of Greece. So here you have mention of four kings leading up to the establishment of the Greek Empire. Because what happened, if you go back and look at the history, the Persia became dominant and they continued to expand, just like we read in chapter 8 of the book of Daniel. And now the fourth king, he becomes, you know, big-headed, as they would say. And so he now start to pluck at a certain region to his northwest, and that is what became the Greek Empire. So it says he was stirring up all against the realm or the territory of Greece. Verse 3 says, and a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Now this mighty king, notice the scene switches because Greece now takes over. And so the king that comes out of it, the very first one, that's Alexander the Great. And so now he takes over. And it says, a mighty king shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion according to his, and shall do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken. So it just tells you, hey, he become king and then he collapse. He dies. He dies at the age of 33. Very young. However, he was no longer dominant in the area. And so four kings came up out of him. We studied that last time. Well, this is the summary, what we're reading about now in Daniel chapter 11. So if you haven't studied Daniel 8, you need to go back and look at it again so you get the full details. And this is just the summary in verse 4. And he says, and he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided towards the four winds of heaven, not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside these. And notice verse 5, and the king of the south shall be strong. Notice that verse now. I want you to see that. Here it is, he's talking about four kingdoms, and then he just talks about the king of the south. Well, where does the king of the south come from? It is the fourth part or the southern part of these four kingdoms that were divided. And what we're going to see is that the southern part is now referred to as the king of the south. And the northern part is going to be referred to as the king of the king of the north. And from now on, they'll use those two terminology. I want you to notice what is the transition that does take place. So, because what is happening is that governments are going to come and go, and it shall last, and by the way, this lasts from the time of, even before the Roman Empire, to this very day. So we're talking about the territory, so we need to understand how it transition takes place. Very, very important. So let me take time to explain that. Because what happens is that God is allowing, you know, the governments of men, they just rule as they see fit. Well, who is actually ruling over them? Satan, the devil. And so they just do what they want. The governments of this world are not led by the government of God, no. They are the government that is being ruled over by Satan the devil. Jesus, when he comes, is going to set up the kingdom of God, and he is going to be the king. And we are going to help him to rule over the nations during that time. That's what the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God is all about. That it's not going to continue like this forever. So back to Daniel chapter 11 and verse 5. The king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. Well, the general that was in rule over the Greek Empire, the southern portion, is a general by the name of Ptolemy. P-T-O-L-E-M, let's see, make sure I'm spelling it correctly. But he is the king of the south, P-T-O-L-E-M-Y. And so he's going to be the one who establishes the king of the kingdom of the south. Now, later on, in our time, the kingdom of the south is going to be, again, taken over by and be dominant by the Persian Empire. So Iran, their names were changed to Iran and Iraq, but in the Bible they were called Persia. They are going to come back on the scene. They want to set up a worldwide empire. It's not going to happen. They're going to try, but it's not going to happen. So what we see then is that the king of the south is going to be dominant for a while. And then the king of the north is also going to be dominant. In fact, the king of the south is going to be stronger than the king of the north. However, over time, by the establishment of the Roman Empire, the king of the north is going to be stronger than the south. In our end time, just a touch of something else, we are going to find that the king of the north is dominated by Germany. They're going to be the king of the north. You recall, they call themselves the sons of the Romans. And so they are going to be the dominant force. Keep that in mind. All right. Now, the king of the south is going to be led by Iran. And so the Bible gives us the details. We don't have to worry about it. I would encourage you to read all of chapter 11. Go back and read chapter 8. And then come back and read chapter 11 again of the book of Daniel. And the picture should become clear. The Spirit of God will make it clear to you as you are reading. All right? And so that is what we are seeing developing in our time. Now let's take it a step further. As we saw previously, Greeks was absorbed into the Roman Empire, which continues to our day, because the Roman Empire, even though it collapsed, there have been many attempts to resurrect it. And the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, gives us the details about how you have 10 resurrections. Out of his head, the fourth beast had 10 horns. Those 10 horns are 10 kings, as the Bible says, that shall arise. Kings represent kingdom. You cannot have a king without a kingdom. So there were 10 kings. There must be 10 kingdoms. Did they all come at the same time? No. They were sequentially. And we know that because there was another little king, which we know as the Roman Church. They behave like a church, but they act like a government. They set up their own money and government and so on. People, the kingdoms of this world send ambassadors to that church. They really are a human government. So that is another little horn. That's what Daniel chapter 7 was talking about. All right? So they call it, adopt the name church, but that doesn't make them a church. What is a church? Church is someone God has called out to be a part of his kingdom, and he is ruling in and through us by his spirit. Well, these folks are not doing that. They're not allowing God to rule over them. They want to be involved with the kingdoms of this world. So they consequently really are not a church either. All right? They don't know that. And many people don't know. So only the ones who God is calling during this time will understand this. All right? So we read of these kings. Now, the king of the south is mentioned in Daniel chapter 5. Let me read it again. And the king of the south shall be strong. That's the one led by Ptolemy. That's the one of the four generals. And one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion, and dominion shall be a great dominion. Well, it's going to last for quite a few hundred years. However, what happens is that they're going to be absorbed by the Roman Empire. And then it comes back again. When the Roman Empire collapses, this portion is separated. That's how Iran is separated. And Persia, so they're going to come back together again. The spirits are going to try to bring them back. And so what we see in taking place then is the activity leading to the caliphate or Islamic empire. Now, by the way, the word caliphate refers to empire. It's synonymous, okay? Now, in Daniel chapter 11, verses 21, it says, in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceable and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. There is going to be one who comes up. This is going to be in the latter days. We know that because it didn't happen initially. And so he is going to get the kingdom by flatteries, today we would say by politics. Verse 22, and with the arm of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him, and he shall broken, yes, and also the prince of the covenant, and the princes of the covenant. And after the league made with him. So the nations are going to get together and make a league or a covenant with him. He's going to break that also because he's devilish. But that's what he's going to do, all right? So I want us to look at how it takes place. And they made league with him, and he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And he shall enter peaceable even to the farthest places of the province. So in other words, he's going to go into areas. Folks are not going to resist him. He's going to be dominant. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south. So here he comes again, against the king of the south, shall be stirred up to battle. And they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall be overflown, and many shall fall down slain. Now, notice this. Both the kings of the south, this is verse 27, both kings, shall be to do mischief. That is going to be their main goal, to do mischief. Mischief means misbehavior. They do things that is wrong. So that is the king of the south and the king of the north. They're going to be fighting against each other, even in the end times, even though the Romans are in charge now. So at a later date, what we're going to find is that they're going to go to war one more time. Now, in the early days of the empire, when they went to war, the southern portion won, and they defeated the north. Well, in the end times, the northern kingdom, dominated by Germany, is going to win the war. That's why we know when there is a war between Europe and the Middle East. It's going to be the Islamic Caliphate. We know that Germany is going to win. Psalm 83, I'm going to turn to it quickly. Psalm 83 gives us details of the formation of this kingdom. Psalm number 83. It says, "Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For look, your enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up the head." Now you'll notice the southern kingdoms are dominated by one religion. We call it the Islamic religion today. The northern kingdom have a version of the king of the Christian religion, but not the real thing. So they don't really, neither of them really, obey God. That is what is happening. That's why the church has to be separate. And so we now follow Jesus Christ. We have our leaders over us to help direct and to teach, but they are not the ones who are going to give us our crown. It's going to be Jesus who does that. All right? So what it says, continue, he says, "Their enemies make a tumult, and they that hate you have lifted up your head." Verse 3, "They have taken crafty counsel against your people, and consult against their hidden ones." Now what we're finding, that they are taking crafty counsel, and the remnant of the people of God we know today as the nation of Israel. They really are just the nation of Judah. However, they have taken the name Israel. And so on October 7th, just the name, we'll give one example. October 7th of last year, they were attacked by the folks who are, again, the other religion I just mentioned. All right? And so that war is going on. But let's read some more. It says, verse 4, "They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." What do they keep saying week after week? They keep chanting these things. Death to Israel. Death to America. We are going to annihilate them from the face of the earth. That's what they are saying. This is what the psalm is describing here. "For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederated against you." In other words, they join together. They're going to form the caliphate, which we're talking about. "The tabernacle of Edom." Edom is Turkey. "And the Ishmaelites," that's the Arabs, the folks of Western Jordan and also Saudi Arabia. "And of Moab and the Agarines and the Jabal and Ammon," all those, remember, that's the capital of Jordan. "And the Philistines," which we now call Palestinians, "with the inhabitants of Tyre." So all of these people are going to join together and form their kingdom. And they have one goal in mind, and that is to annihilate the nation of Israel. And of course, they refer to them as the small Satan, and then the United States as the big Satan, and they want to remove both of them. It's not going to happen, but they don't know. I'm showing you the prophecy explaining how they're going to set up their government. Psalm 83 tells you how the Islamic Empire is going to be set up. So that's it. God is giving us this information and to let us know all the many connections that are taking place. So if we review this, we will see the big picture of all the empires and governments fighting and overthrowing others until God allows the nations of the East, that's Russia and China, to put down the beast power. The destruction of the final resurrection of the Roman Empire will not be replaced by the governments of men, which has been happening throughout the years, but it's going to be replaced by the kingdom of God. Headquarters is going to be in Jerusalem. All right, we're going to talk more about this in the next lesson. But let's pick up something else. I want to go ahead and read, starting at verse 40 of Daniel the 11th chapter. It says, "At the time of the end," so way down in the future, which is our time, at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him. Who is he pushing at? Remember I told you those two kings were there just to try to cause conflict, mischief? Well, the king of the south is going to push against the king of the north. Now, who's going to be the king of the south? I just told you the conglomeration that they form together, the confederate. And that is going to be dominated by Iran, by Persia. They're going to be the king of the south. Who is going to be the king of the north again? That is going to be dominated by Germany. It's all in the news. If people could understand who these people are. How do you know these things? By reading through the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and then you just look at history and it should become very clear. All right, now, let's read some more. He says, the king, at the time of the answer, the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Why? Because Germany is so much more powerful economically and militarily. So he's going to come like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He's going to dominate everything, really. And he shall enter into the glorious land. He's going to go into the Middle East. And many countries shall be overthrown. Now, remember now, at this point, he's going to have the false prophet with him, giving false signs and wonders. That is going to be that religious leader we know about who comes from Rome. You know who he is. And so, many shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab. So the nation of Jordan is going to be spared. God is going to spare them. Why? We're not sure, but he's going to spare them. And the chief of the children of Ammon, he shall stretch forth his hand, that's the same king of the north, also upon the countries, and if the land of Egypt shall not escape, he's going to control Egypt and Libya. They're not going to escape. He's going to dominate them. Now, the Egyptians don't know this yet. By the way, Ethiopia also is going to be dominated by him. That's right next to you in Kenya. And so my point is that these are all going to, this is going to be some of the happenings. However, in verse 44, it says, but tidings or news out of the east, out of the east and the north shall trouble him. He's going to hear some news coming from the east. That's eastern countries at that time. What are those countries going to be? They're going to be dominated by China, India, Pakistan, Japan. It's going to be worldwide. And then the north is going to be dominated by Russia. So you're going to have the east and the north coming together. And they're going now to, God is going to use them to fight against the king of this, the beast power. And that's going to stop him. That's the king of the north. So what I'm trying to convey to you is the by the way, the king of the north is going to be destroyed. He's going to be destroyed. It says, tidings of the east shall trouble him. Therefore shall he go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make a way to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the sea and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his hand, and none shall help him. He's going to come to his hand. Who's going to bring that to his hand? God is going to allow him to be destroyed by the king of the east. Now, they are not going to get a chance now to occupy, because God is going to set up the kingdom of God on earth. That's what's going to happen. So we're very close to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is what is prophesied to happen. And so this final destruction is going to take place. And we're going to talk about the transition now that takes place when the king of the south is actually, the king of the north rather, is actually destroyed and the kingdom of God is established. This is going to be the beginning or the start of what we now call the millennium. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is going to be King of Kings We're going to be the kings, the little kings. That's us. We're going to be kings and priests. That's when we're going to be kings and priests, when Jesus becomes king over the earth and set up the kingdom of God. And we are going to reign and rule with him. So this is what we call the gospel or the good news, because it is good news. The governments of men are just overthrowing each other and the people are not being blessed. But God is going to send Jesus to come and set things up, and the people are going to be blessed and they are going to live really as long as trees. That's what the Bible says. They, people nowadays, don't live too long. When Jesus comes and take over, people are going to live for hundreds of years again. A tree sometimes lasts 400, 500, 600 years, maybe more. There are trees in America that is over 1,000 years old. What I am saying to you is that people are going to live as long as trees. That will only take place when the kingdom of God is established. So we're going to talk more about this in the final section from Babylon to Jerusalem, as we study these final end times so that you and I can be prepared. The good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ is being preached. This is the gospel. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson.